A horizontal red oval with cut-off ends forms around the name magnet. The letter E rises from behind a dark sphere. N and E follow to the side to spell E1. Entertainment 1. Cargo Entertainment. Blobs of green paint fly around, turning blue, then purple, then pink, before joining in a red paint splash to form the logo for Screen Australia. Words fly in from the right and off to the left. Screen Australia, Screen West, and Lottery West, and Melbourne International Film Festival Premier Fund present, with Jake Film Finance Media House Capital and Creative Wealth Media Finance. A Parabolic Pictures and Stableway Entertainment production with Feisty Dame Productions, a Criv Stenders film. Sullivan Stapleton. Alicia Braga. Teresa Palmer. Callan Mulvey. Luke Hemsworth. Brian Brown. And Simon Pegg. Scrolling yellow letters fill the screen, kill me once, twice, three times. Title, Kill Me Three Times.
Fuck me. I can't believe I'm going to die in this place. But as far as headstones go, a man could do a lot worse.
A bright blue seashore.
I'm Charlie Wolfe. And as I lie here, waiting for death's cold embrace, I find myself asking the question, how the fuck did it come to this? I don't die. I thrive.
Chapter title, Kill Me Once. A man sprints across a desert. The sky in the background is bright blue, but the clouds nearby are dark. He bends over and gasps for breath. Behind him is a sandy track that stretches out into the distance. He looks up. In front of him is a sand dune. A car drives around a dune behind him. He staggers into a run. The car pursues him slowly. It's a gold Oldsmobile Toronado. The car parks at the bottom of the dune. The man is halfway up the side. The man from the opening narration steps out in a black suit and sunglasses. He chuckles at the man stumbling up the dune. He opens up the boot to reveal an array of weapons and pulls out a sniper rifle. His target has disappeared over the top of the dune. The sniper strides after him. On the other side, the target half runs, half rolls down the dune toward an excavator. The sniper reaches the top of the dune and takes aim at the running man. Blood spurts out of the man's back in slow motion, but he keeps running. The next shot takes him in the calf. He falls to the sand. The sniper smiles, then his smile drops as the man starts to get up again. The target crawls behind the excavator. The sniper lowers his gun in frustration. Behind the excavator, the target crawls toward a truck standing next to some oil barrels. He turns to find the sniper right behind him with a handgun. The sniper lowers the gun and answers his mobile.
Yeah. I'm sorry, could you hang on 1 second? Yeah, I'll be there in an hour.
The hitman leaves. The other man lies dead with a bullet hole in his forehead. A transition across water to a beach with a nearby town. The gold car drives along a coastal road to a sign that reads, "Welcome to Eagle's Nest." A woman sits on a small dune clutching her knees and looking out at the ocean. She glances over her shoulder and then gets up. She walks back from the beach to a long low building. She passes picnic tables with red and blue balloons flying and enters the motel. In her room, she packs a suitcase. She checks the time and pulls out her phone.
Good morning, Dr. Webb, dental surgery.
Hi, Lucy, this is Alice.
Hi, Alice. But do you think Nathan can
see me this afternoon? I'm actually in a lot of pain.
Sure, I think we can fit you in.
Half two.
Perfect. I'll see you at 2. All right, see you later.
Lucy looks concerned for a moment.
Nathan!
Come on, man. Please, just sort me out this one last time. 50K on Silver's Halloween.
He's betting on the race.
Thanks. You're a saint.
Nathan! Change of plans, she's coming today.
I'm not ready.
We've got no choice. Switch my dental records and let's get my car to the quarry.
The hitman is waiting in his car in an alley. He checks the time. Alice walks by behind him, carrying an orange bag. He tosses his cigarette out the window. Alice goes to a bright red Volkswagen Beetle. She tosses her bag in the seat and pulls away from the Rock Hotel. The hitman shifts into gear and follows. Alice drives along the coastal road with the beach on her right. The hitman follows at a distance. Alice pulls up next to a white car in front of the dental surgeon's office. Lucy peers through the blinds. Nathan peels x-rays out of a folder and switches them with another. The hitman arrives. His number plate reads 1DPT666. Alice slides her bag under the front seat. The hitman lights up another cigarette and watches Alice get out of her car.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, it's okay. What happened?
Nathan is still frantically adjusting the files in the back.
Nathan, Alice is here.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Alice.
Okay.
Yeah, shall we?
Yeah.
He directs Alice into a room. Lucy gives him a significant look. She takes her keys from the front desk and goes out to the white car. The hitman watches her leave. Once her car disappears, he tosses the cigarette and gets out, taking binoculars. Lucy parks behind the building. The hitman climbs up her hill through some trees. Nathan fills a syringe from a bottle. Alice watches from a chair.
Do you really need an injection?
Yes. But I won't be gentle.
I think
I bet. Open.
She lies back and opens her mouth. He jabs her in the neck and holds her head while she struggles. She loses consciousness. He lets go of her and runs to the door.
Took you long enough. She out?
Cold.
Grab her jewelry.
The hitman watches from the bushes, taking photos as Nathan carries Alice out to the car and puts her in the boot. He ducks down suddenly as Nathan turns.
Did he say something?
No.
You remember the petrol? What's that think of everything?
There's a garage in the way.
Don't take forever, I'll be waiting.
She goes back inside and takes off her white lab coat before leaving again. The front of the building says Dr. Nathan Webb, dental surgeon. Lucy takes Alice's car. Nathan adjusts the radio.
Ready to go in the fifth event. Blacktown Lab.
The hitman watches him pull away. He lowers the binoculars, looking amused and thoughtful. Alice's red car drives back down the road the other way. Nathan's white one drives through bright green woods.
Here's Silver's R taken to the outside, and the well-tried favourites light up.
Silver.
It's Silver's R racing
Come
to Blacktown Lad and Day Jane. He's taken over running, and the favourite's looking
Come
pretty
on.
Good at the moment. He raced two lengths in front of...
Trying to adjust the radio, Nathan misses a sign that says road work ahead.
But he's getting tied, Dayton's coming back, and so is Madison Rose. Oh, there's a fall! The favourite's gone! Silverstar's fallen! You wouldn't believe it! Victory in his sights, and he's down, the favourite out, and Dayton...
The lane is closed ahead. He swerves and drives through several orange cones before skidding into the dirt.
Wonder the world, and down he went with only 50 metres to go. Que sera. That's racing, I guess. It's bad luck for the punters that they lose their money.
In a hollow between green and red cliffs, the red beetle approaches a car parked near a lake. Lucy wipes her fingerprints off the interior with a white handkerchief. She notices the bag under the seat. She unzips the top and stares into it in astonishment. She gets out of Alice's car and into the other one, taking the bag with her. Nathan drives slowly up to a petrol station. His right rear tire is flat.
Fucking hell!
The window behind him says repairs, but he doesn't see it. He glances around then opens the boot. He shoves Alice's limp body to get at the spare tire underneath. A mechanic in the garage hears him throwing tools on the ground and goes to check.
Nathan
yanks on the spare tire.
Just got a flat.
Need a hand?
Nah. All good. I got it.
No worries at all, mate.
Thanks.
The mechanic takes the tire. Nathan picks up his tools. Afterwards, they go inside.
You still planning on leaving?
I'm way beyond planning. I'm doing. Today.
Good on ya.
The gold car arrives outside.
Do you need anything else?
Yeah. You getting any large waters?
Yeah, I've got some at the back.
Thanks.
The hitman enters the shop and begins browsing as the mechanic goes into the back room.
You tourist.
Something like that.
Egot. Sorry, it's not cold. Just the one?
Yeah. Better give me $20 worth of petrol.
Yeah, no worries.
The hitman laughs at a postcard showing women's bums.
You can't smoke in here.
The hitman gives the mechanic a wide-eyed look, then stomps out his cigarette.
Cheers, Dylan. Good luck.
Nathan goes outside to fill up. Out of sight behind the car, he pours the bottle of water onto the ground. The hitman is still laughing at postcards. Nathan removes the nozzle from the car and begins to fill up the bottle instead. The hitman goes to the counter. They briefly make eye contact over the car. Nathan puts the bottle of petrol in the back seat and replaces the nozzle. He drives away. Lucy is sitting in a car looking irritated when Nathan arrives.
What kept you this time?
Got a flat.
It's always something with you.
It was an accident.
Come on then, let's get on with it. It's you we should be insuring, not me.
They jack up the rear end of Alice's Beetle. Nathan opens the driver's side door and gets in carefully. The car rocks a bit. Lucy watches with a hand on a hip. Nathan revs the engine and the rear wheels spin. He grins at her. He picks up a rock and puts it on the accelerator. The jack collapses and the car begins to drive toward the lake with Nathan inside. He opens the door and dives out. The car plunges into the lake. The hitman watches from the cliffs. The beetle floats upright in the water. Nathan stares after it open-mouthed.
Nathan!
All right. Go sink. Son?
Get in there!
He begins unbuttoning his shirt. The hitman laughs at them. Nathan prepares to wade into the lake in his underwear.
Fuck, this is really cold.
Behind him, the car finally begins to sink.
Let's go.
Fuck me.
Lucy stops by the side of a road. Nathan drives through the woods. In the boot, Alice begins to stir. Alice feels around. Nathan pulls up behind Lucy. She takes off her jewelry and leaves it in the car. She opens her boot as Nathan gets out of his car.
grab the bag.
Alice listens to them.
Petrol?
It's in the back seat.
What the fuck is this?
It's a petrol.
Where's the rest of it?
Alice grabs a lug wrench. Nathan opens the boot and Alice slams him in the head.
Alice, calm down.
Alice hurls the wrench and Lucy flinches away. Alice takes off running.
I can get off! Just get away! Fuck's sake!
Nathan sits up blearily. His head is bleeding.
What?
Lucy backs up and hits him before pulling away in his car. Lucy drives after Alice, catching up quickly. Alice veers off the road, but trips. Lucy jumps out of the car and grabs her hair, tackling her and punching her in the head. Nathan leans on the other car, holding his head. He looks up at a car approaching. Lucy drives up and gets out.
Hi.
Let's fucking do this.
Where is she?
In the back seat.
Lucy begins dousing the other car in petrol. The hitman leans out of some bushes to watch.
Jewelry's on the dash.
Get
her in. This is fucking easy. You don't have to be so gentle. Just get in there,
right? Nathan sets Alice in the driver's seat. He puts Lucy's rings on her fingers. Nathan puts the car in neutral.
Sorry, Alice.
He releases the handbrake. Then he stands up and closes the door, pushing the car forward. Lucy flips open a lighter.
Goodbye, Alice.
She tosses the lighter at the car, and flames begin to spread up the window. Alice sits unconscious as flames spread across the car. Nathan and Lucy watch it roll away. The flaming car plunges off the road. From across the bay, a flaming speck falls from a cliff and explodes against the rocks. Chapter title, Kill Meet Weiss. It's a sunny day on the coast. The water is a bright aquamarine. There's a party at the hotel. Alice brings a tray of drinks to a table.
No, I'm fine. I'm working.
Lucy is working behind the bar, looking annoyed as Alice toasts with the party. A dim office. A man drinks at the desk.
I agreed to help out, but not so you can sit around, you fucking ass.
I'll be another minute.
Jack, we need to talk.
Not now.
Your marriage is a joke. She's given up on your whole pathetic act.
Jack stares at a photo of him and Alice.
Do you know that you're the love?
Enough. Why don't you and your deadbeat husband mind your own fucking business?
Jack, you're my brother. I can't just stand by and watch this happen.
Are you done?
Have you made that call? Hire him and have her followed. If I'm wrong, then I won't say another word.
She walks out. Jack reaches for a business card on the desk. It says Wolf Superior Solutions. Outside, Alice laughs with the guests while she serves.
Love don't burst me.
Jack opens a safe to reveal stacks of $100 bills and a revolver.
Jack, we need to get more to keep.
Alice sees him holding the gun and stops.
When did you get a gun? Is everything okay?
He shuts the safe behind him and sits down.
Sit down.
She does. He pours her a drink.
Pick it up.
Please put the gun down.
I said pick it fucking up. Do you have any idea how much I love you?
He throws his glass against the wall, making her jump. He puts his head in his hand.
You don't love me. You just want to control me.
She taps her glass once and then stands and leaves.
Alice.
She turns at the door.
Are you seeing someone else? Because I couldn't handle something like that.
He waves the gun.
I'd sooner see you dead.
I need to go.
She glances back from the hall and sees him sit back down and put the gun in a drawer. Jack picks up the business card again. Then he reaches for the phone and begins dialing. The excavator sits in the sand. The hitman pauses to answer his phone.
Yeah. Sorry, just hold on a sec. Yeah, I'll be there in an hour.
A car drives in the dark, following a sat-nav. The hitman pulls into the hotel parking lot. He sits in his car looking at the building. The lights on the porch go out. Clean glasses sit next to the sink. Alice walks by. She heads down the stairs toward the office. She stops in the door and looks at Jack, lying back in his chair. Up close, she can see he's holding a bottle. She steps closer, twisting a ring on her finger. Slowly, she pulls open the drawer. Jack shifts but doesn't wake up. She reaches for the gun. Then she puts it in her bag. Jack wakes up and grabs her arm.
What are you doing?
Jack, you're hurting me.
What are you fucking doing, sneaking around?
I wasn't sneaking around.
He backhands her across the face and she stumbles. She turns to him, holding her lip.
That's the last time you hit me.
Alice, I'm sorry!
Sitting in his car, the hitman sees Alice leave the hotel. He slides down in his seat and watches her get into her car. She drives away and he follows. Alice stops on a hill beside a camper van. Inside, Dylan the mechanic examines Alice's lip.
Your tooth is chipped.
He stands and retrieves a bottle from a cupboard overhead.
Sorry, it's all I've got.
He hands her the pill.
Thank you.
You'll be okay on your own for a few?
Why? Where are you going?
I'm going to pay Jack a visit.
Dylan. Stay with me.
Somebody needs to sort that prick out.
Stay with me. Please.
She kisses him. He puts his arms around her and they move to the bed. The hitman walks through the dark and peers around a tree. He approaches the camper van. Dylan and Alice are making love inside. The hitman creeps toward a window. He sticks a tiny camera on a wire through the open window. He grins to himself as he spies on them having sex. Carefully, he removes the camera. Dylan and Alice lie in bed.
Jack wasn't always like this.
Doesn't excuse what he does.
You know, he told me earlier that he'd sooner see me dead than meet another guy.
He actually said that.
The scariest part is that he was pointing this at me when he said that.
Fucking hell. Good thing we're leaving tomorrow.
Dylan puts the gun on a shelf over the bed.
You sure don't want to go?
Of course I'm sure.
You haven't sold the garage yet.
Things will be tight. Money's always a problem when you don't have much.
I'll get a job.
We can make enough for the both of us.
The still ocean at night. Dylan and Alice asleep in the van. Alice sits up suddenly. She wraps herself in a blanket and runs to the toilet. She comes back out and takes a drink of water, looking at the sleeping Dylan. Alice sits on a sand dune in the daytime, clutching her knees and looking out at the ocean. She turns and looks over her shoulder. She glances down at the packet from McLean Pharmacy on top of her bag, then picks it up and goes back inside the hotel. She goes into the ladies' room. Sitting in a cubicle, she looks at the positive sign appearing on the pregnancy test. She bites her lip.
Sure, I think we can fit you in.
How's two?
Perfect. I'll see you at two.
All right, see you later. Nathan!
Alice loads her suitcase into her car. She goes inside and finds Jack reclining on her couch in the office.
Are you sober?
He sits up slowly.
Nicely. I'm sorry, Alice.
You're always sorry.
Yeah.
This is Charlie Wolf.
Hang on. Oi, shut the door.
Alice shuts the door and leaves.
Yeah.
I have something you might want to see.
Okay.
Should I drop in?
No. You know the car park by Merchant Row?
I'll be there in an hour.
Alice cleans the bar with a rag.
Hey, Bruce.
A man in a police uniform enters.
Where's Jack?
In his office.
Bruce comes up to the bar. He's wearing sunglasses. He looks to be around 50 years old.
You must be tired.
Yeah, a little.
Running around town the way you do? All hours of the day and night?
Excuse me?
Bruce. Jack. Very man. Just checking on that case of whiskey you promised.
It's later, all right, mate? I'm just heading out.
Yeah. Long as it's not too much later. Right?
Alice and Jack watch Bruce leave.
Give us your car keys.
What's wrong with your car?
It's still at the paint shop.
Will you be long?
As long as it takes.
I have an appointment with Nathan at 2.
She gives him the keys. He leaves. She stands at the bar, thinking. Then she grabs an orange bag from a shelf underneath. She throws some things out of it and runs off. She goes down to the office, but the door is locked. Behind the building, she grabs a plastic crate and steps up to the window. Standing on the crate, she's able to slide the large window open and climb through. The Red Beetle returns to the hotel. Alice spins the knob on the safe. Jack enters the bar. Alice gets the safe open. She looks at the cash. Jack approaches the door. Alice closes the safe. She grabs the empty bag and runs around behind a wall of kegs to hide. Jack comes in and goes across the room to the safe. He takes out one stack of bills and shuts it. He leaves. Alice slides out from behind the kegs and returns to the safe. She begins loading the money into the bag. She takes it all and shuts the safe. Alice goes around to the garbage bins and throws the bag in with the glass. Jack drives the Red Beetle down a sandy road. He passes a sign that reads, "Dangerous Coast, Lives Have Been Lost." He pulls past Charlie Wolf's gold Tornado and parks. He gets out and approaches the car. Looking to his right, he sees Charlie standing on a rock over the waves.
Whoa!
Charlie turns around. He grins. They get into his car.
I didn't expect your call so soon.
Sometimes they make it too easy.
Charlie passes Jack a phone. He presses play on the screen and watches Alice and Dylan have sex.
This was last night?
Charlie nods.
Jesus.
Do you have something for me?
Jack hands over the money.
I'm keeping this.
Be my guest. I bought it just for you.
You feel like staying on for a few days?
No sense hanging around.
I've got something for you if you're interested.
I'm listening.
How does 50 grand sound?
Like a dirty job. And I'm still listening.
I want you to kill my wife. Make the bitch disappear.
Jack, you've worked yourself into a knot over this thing.
Fine.
You're reacting badly to some bad news. Just take some time.
My mind is clear.
What you're talking about is a one-way street. You understand? Once you start, there is no going back.
She had fair warning. She knew the consequences, and she did it anyway. So fuck her. You want my money or not?
Charlie takes a swig from a flask.
Do you have that sort of cash just laying around?
It's covered.
I mean, untraceable. This kind of job doesn't come with a receipt.
I told you it's covered.
There is, of course, the issue of trust.
I trust you.
Yes, but how can I be sure you're not going to go soft on me, Jack?
Well, we'll have to trust each other.
Did you and your wife ever trust each other?
You don't want the job? Fine. Get out.
I don't remember saying no.
So are you saying yes?
Charlie takes another drink.
All right, I'll do it. But not for 50 grand.
How much?
My rate's an even one.
60?
No, 100. I'm what you call a professional. Quality always costs. So are we on?
She has a dental appointment at 2. I'd be fine with her never coming home.
All right, here's what I want you to do. Go back to the bar and stay there, in plain sight. Smile for everyone and don't act funny. I'll contact you when it's done.
I'll be expecting your call.
Oh, Jack. Don't go putting that online now, will you?
Nathan comes out of his office.
Lucy, I can't get through with it.
Can't.
Lucy looks out the window.
Whatever he wants, get rid of him.
I'll handle it.
Nathan nervously buttons his lab coat and pushes up his glasses. Bruce enters.
Hey, Bruce. How you going?
I was up the big smoke last night. Met a bookmaker we all know.
Who's that?
Evan Black.
You know Evan?
He's a relative.
I had no idea.
You know how it is around here? We're all related one way or another.
Yeah. Small world.
Evan says you've been avoiding him. Says you owe him heaps of money, and so far you haven't made good on a single marker.
Look, it's okay. I am going to pay him. I gave him my word.
Fuck your word. He wants his money.
And he will get it. On my oath.
You disrespected him. He arranged for the lads to come see you. But I talked him out of it. I said I'd come see you first. Promised him I'd collect everything you owe. Within the week. Failing that, I'd kill you myself.
Bruce, we're good for the money. Well, we will be. I just need a little bit more time.
How much time?
A couple of months.
You're taking a piss.
No.
Where's this money coming from in a few months?
I can't tell you, but it is real. Okay, I promise.
Don't come the raw fucking prawn. You got 1 week.
We're talking about near 250 grand.
That was before.
Before what?
Me.
How much now?
Now? Now we're talking about a figure so close to 300,000, we may as well call it.
No, we never agreed to that. Right? Are you insane?
Non-negotiable.
You can't be serious.
Let me show you how serious I am. Come here.
Don't
have me ask twice.
We've got 1 week. Now say it.
Bruce, stop!
You think you got the message? Well?
Yes.
Bruce, we get it, okay? We've got a week.
Or else? I'm asking you.
You'll kill us.
Have the money in a week.
Bruce picks up his hat and sunglasses and puts them back on. He nods at Lucy and then Nathan and then leaves. Lucy sits down and wipes her eyes.
Don't touch me! You just stood there.
I didn't mean for any of this to happen.
We go ahead with it. We need that insurance money more than ever now.
Okay.
The Red Beetle passes some roadkill on the way back to the hotel. Alice is inside at the bar when Jack enters. They look at each other.
Where have you been? I'm late.
Went for a drive.
My car keys?
He backs up a few paces and drops them on the counter. Alice gets her purse and takes the keys. Outside, she heads to the garbage bins. She retrieves the bag. In the alley, Charlie watches her go by. Charlie follows Alice and watches Nathan and Lucy's murder plot unfold.
Goodbye, Alice.
He lowers the binoculars and smiles as the flaming car rolls away. The car rolls off the road and plunged down a hill. Alice wakes up. She unbuckles her seatbelt and dives out of the car. The empty car plunges onto the rocks and explodes. Chapter title, Kill Me Three Times. Scenes of the trees from overhead, moving out toward a large house on the beach. Lucy and Nathan drive up to a gate.
How do you like the house?
You certain they're overseas?
For the next 6 months.
Nathan opens a cover over the keypad.
You do know the code, don't you?
Max told me there was an easy way to remember it.
Obviously.
Beethoven.
What?
The code. It's 1812 after the overture.
That's Tchaikovsky, you idiot.
Bruce is driving in his patrol car and sees smoke rising from the beach. He pulls over to investigate. He steps carefully off the road and through the trees on the hill. He can see the flaming car on the rocks at the bottom. He takes off his sunglasses for a better look and then peers around. Seeing no one, he smiles down at the wreck. It's evening. In the house, Nathan examines his glasses.
Lucy, have you got any of my contacts here?
Yeah.
Nathan opens the orange bag.
My toiletry bag. I'll get it.
He quickly closes it again.
What's that?
I was going to tell you about it. I found it in a car when I was waiting for you earlier. It just slipped my mind with all that was going on.
How much?
About 250,000.
$250,000. You just forgot about it. We didn't have to kill her, did we?
What are you talking about?
We could have used that money to pay Bruce.
By the time I found it, we were already committed.
Very convenient.
Believe me, there is nothing convenient about this mess that you got us into. Hey. I'm sick and tired of having barely enough. I want more.
I'm off.
Why? Why do you have to leave?
I'll come back when I get a chance. Okay.
Why are you taking that?
I'll keep it safe.
He takes the bag. Lucy looks after him unhappily. Charlie's Tornado arrives at the hotel at sunset. He goes down the stairs to Jack's office.
Hello, Jack.
You.
Me.
Jack is holding a mostly empty vodka bottle.
Is it done?
I wouldn't be here if it weren't.
She's dead.
Charlie cocks his head and looks at Jack.
How'd you do it?
Oh, easy there, Jack. The less you know, the better. That way, if people start asking questions, you don't have to lie.
But she's
gone. Forever.
Jack takes another drink, looking at the photo of him and Alice.
Are you planning on drinking yourself to death, Jack?
Maybe.
Your business is your own. As long as we're square.
Jack goes to the safe.
You got some proof for me? Or am I supposed to just take your word?
You don't trust me anymore? I'd have thought you'd be glad to be rid of her. answered all your problems.
Despite what you think, I love my wife very much. Too much.
Well, you've got a crazy way of showing it.
Nobody makes a fool out of me. It's gone.
I don't like the sound of that.
Jack stares into the empty safe.
Alice.
You wouldn't be playing games with me, would you, Jack?
What? No, don't worry, I have more.
Where?
The safety deposit box at the bank.
Had me worried for a moment. What time shall I come back tomorrow?
Give me another 3.
Let's make it 2. Jack, all this talk of booze has got me quite thirsty. You wouldn't know of any good bars in the area, would you?
Jack looks over his shoulder at him. Charlie grins and leaves. Alice lies in the dirt on the hill by the ocean. She opens her eyes. She squeezes up her face in pain. Carefully, she rolls onto her front and starts to get up. She manages to get into a sitting position. She is bruised and dirty. Gingerly, she rises to her feet. Nathan is in his office. He turns a stack of bills over in his hands. Then he adds it to the pile next to him. He's on a website called Fast Track Bets. He gets a message on his phone. It says, "I want $250,000. Bring the money to the quarry at noon today. I am watching you." There are photos of him carrying Alice and the red beetle sinking into the lake.
Shit.
He hears a car and begins shoveling the money into a drawer. Bruce enters.
Hi, Bruce.
Where's Lizzie?
Oh, she hasn't showed up for work yet.
You know why I'm here?
Yeah. But you said I had a week, so that gives me at least another
week. Don't play games. I'm here on police business. You know anything about a crash? Up on Devil's Rocks Road?
No. Should I?
I didn't think you had the balls, mate.
What are you talking about?
I found Lizzie's car. Or what's left of it. This thing has insurance job written all over it.
Nathan shakes his head. Bruce stands up.
Don't bullshit me. You got a policy in your wife's name?
Yes.
Well, one word from me in the wrong man's ear, and that claim won't clear for a bloody long time. And I'm also in a position to make this thing go your way without a hitch, open and shut case. For these services, I need to be compensated.
I'm listening.
I want half.
Half?
Half of what's left after you settle your debts.
No way.
Consider your options, Nathan. Okay? I'm being very generous. Don't insult me. You got a copy of your wife's dental records? Okay? Save me a trip back here after I ring this in.
Yes.
I underestimated you, mate. Your own wife. You're a heartless fucker.
Bruce walks away. Alice crawls back up the steep hill toward the road. Nathan returns to the house.
Liz! Lucy!
He walks out onto the deck and sees a figure down at the beach.
Lucy!
She turns and makes a face before jogging back up to the house. Nathan stands by floor-to-ceiling windows in a richly decorated room.
Bit of a problem. Read this.
He hands her his phone. Lucy scrolls through the pictures.
When did you get this?
Earlier.
Do you have any idea who sent it?
No. Do you?
What? Of course not.
$250,000. Bit of a coincidence, don't you think?
The email says he's watching us.
He.
Oh, you think it's a she?
Maybe.
You're being ridiculous.
Am I?
Well, he or she, all they mention here is 250 grand.
So?
So obviously they don't know about the insurance policy or they'd be after a lot more.
You think we should pay?
Fuck. I think we have a chance to end this cheap.
Cheap?
In comparison. Besides, I don't see too many options.
Maybe.
You still have the money, don't you?
In the car. Why?
Thought maybe you'd gambled it away already.
Let's start. You coming?
Where?
What do you think?
I'm dead, remember?
She goes back into the bedroom. Nathan pockets the phone. He notices a knife block on the counter and goes over to it. He takes one of the knives with him. A light blue pickup truck arrives at the hotel. Dylan enters. He and Jack face each other.
Where is she? Come here.
Jack beckons Dylan into the hall. Dylan follows Jack down to the office.
Who the fuck do you think you are, coming in here, accusing me of what exactly?
I want to know what you did.
Jack sits down at the desk.
What about what you did?
He slides the phone toward Dylan. Dylan picks it up.
I had you followed.
Dylan tosses the phone down.
I want my money back.
What money?
I know she took it. I know she gave it to you, and I want it back.
I haven't got your money.
Is that right?
Jack opens the drawer where he put the gun and looks down.
You looking for this? Where is she? Yeah, shoot me.
Dylan walks around the desk and points the gun.
Just tell me where she is.
Jack leans his head against the barrel.
Fuck you.
Dylan shoots his leg.
Oh, fuck! You fucking shot me! You fucking prick! Where is she? I don't know. He wouldn't tell me.
Who?
The guy I hired, the one who shot the video.
What's his fucking name?
Wolf! Charlie Wolf!
Where can I find him?
Yeah, a little later.
Why?
He still has to get paid.
Paid for what?
They can earn to speak. How will I recognize him?
You drive a Toronado.
A tourist.
Tastes so tourist.
Dylan shoots him in the side of the neck. Blood spurts out. Jack tries to stop it with a hand. Jack falls to the ground. He looks at Dylan. Alice climbs through a thicket. She is barefoot. Nathan drives to the quarry. Charlie is waiting on a ridge with his rifle. He crouches down and watches the car. Through the crosshairs, he sees Nathan emerge with the orange bag. A mobile phone rings on a rock near Nathan. Nathan picks up the phone.
So how are we going to do this?
Well, that's the easy part. You just
put the money on the ground and then get in your car and fuck off.
Not a chance. We do this face to face or not at all.
You don't get to call the shots.
If you consider this a down payment, I'll keep the memory card.
Until the insurance policy's clear.
Over my dead body.
Isn't that over your wife's dead body?
You go to hell.
You've got a bad attitude.
Look, your money is here, and so am I until you come and collect it.
Or I could just shoot you where you stand.
Come and take the money.
I can kill the only person that can claim the insurance policy. I don't think so.
Yes!
Charlie shoots him in the arm and he drops the bag. Nathan looks up at the cliffs around him. Charlie emerges from behind a rock and walks toward him, carrying the rifle. Nathan pulls the knife from his pocket.
You know, I'd prefer not to kill you.
But I will.
Just so we're clear.
Since today.
Whatever you say.
Charlie bends to get the bag and Nathan charges him. He stabs him in the shoulder and the gun goes off, hitting the car. Charlie shoots Nathan several times.
God!
The knife has pierced Charlie's left palm. The car is leaking petrol. Nathan is bleeding from many wounds. Nathan wriggles to the car while Charlie removes the knife.
Did you find something funny? You're a fucking lunatic, you know that?
Look in the bag.
Why?
Because I want to see your face.
Charlie opens the bag. It's full of dental flyers.
That wife of yours.
She's something, right?
Leave her alone.
Tell me where the fucking money is or she eats this gun.
If I tell you,
then I won't kill her.
Give me your word.
Promise.
Numbers. Keys are in my pocket.
Charlie reaches in Nathan's pocket. The boot pops open. He lifts the floor cover and finds the money underneath.
You
He gets the bag and begins filling it with money. Nathan slumps against the side of the car.
Now.
Yeah.
I will be sure to tell your wife what you tried to do for her.
You promised me.
Charlie lights a match. He looks at Nathan, who shakes his head desperately. Charlie lights the matchbook on fire and drops it into the pool of petrol. Charlie tries to light a cigarette as he walks away, but realizes he has no matches. He throws the cigarette to the ground in frustration. Alice finally reaches the road. She takes off Lucy's rings and throws them on the ground. The tornado returns to the hotel. Dylan sinks down in his pickup. He grabs the gun. Charlie gets out of his car. Charlie goes inside. Dylan prepares to follow, but then hesitates as Bruce pulls up to the hotel as well. Bruce parks next to the tornado and looks inside. Jack lies in a pool of blood in his office. Charlie draws his handgun as he enters and sees him. Charlie goes over to a security screen on the wall and ejects the tapes. He looks around. Crossing the room, he finds a microwave and sets the metal cases inside. He presses the button marked pizza and turns it on. Bruce enters the bar area.
Jack?
He takes off his hat and sunglasses and throws them on the bar.
Jack?
He goes through the door marked staff only.
I can murder a drink.
Charlie jumps up and points his gun at the door. Bruce steps in.
Despite how this looks, I had nothing to do with it.
Bruce raises an eyebrow. The microwave explodes. Charlie shoots Bruce in the chest. Bruce collapses. Charlie looks around and sighs. Charlie opens the front door, looks around, and then shuts it and heads down the stairs toward the car park. Dylan watches him. Charlie half walks, half runs to his car. Dylan follows in his pickup. They leave past the sign saying "Welcome to Eagle's Nest." Alice is walking down the side of the road. The tornado turns onto the road in front of her and she chases after it. It doesn't slow down. Alice puts her hands on her knees and bends over in exhaustion. Then Dylan's car turns after Charlie's. She runs after him waving, but Dylan is focused on following Charlie. He disappears around a bend. Charlie arrives at the beach house where Lucy is hiding. He stops at the gate. It says warning, electric fence. He climbs over it anyway. He shakes himself and then pulls a gun from his jacket. His left hand is wrapped in yellow gauze and he's carrying the orange bag. Lucy is in the shower. Charlie jogs up to the house, gun drawn. He tries the back door. It's unlocked. He spins into a doorway leading to a large curved staircase. He ascends the stairs. Upstairs, he enters the room with the floor-to-ceiling windows. He moves to a table and sets the bag down. He crosses the room slowly with the gun held straight out in front of him. He goes down the hall toward the bedroom. He can hear the shower running through the door on the other side of the room. He moves toward it. It's ajar. He pushes the door open and aims at the hazy figure behind the glass. Getting closer, he opens the shower door and puts his gun to the back of Lucy's head. She freezes. Slowly, she turns around.
Boom!
What the fuck are you doing here? Damn it!
She steps out of the shower, glaring at him. Then they kiss.
He fucking stabbed me.
What, Nathan?
Yeah, what a complete psycho.
But you got the money.
Oh, I got it.
Where's Nathan now?
Yeah, about that.
What about it?
He walks down the hall with a cigarette, patting his pockets. She follows him.
Did you fuck this up?
Honey, I'm having a bad day here.
You killed him.
He forced my hand.
Do you realize what you've done?
It was him or me, okay? Sorry.
Damn it, Charlie!
You wanted him dead.
Yeah, after the insurance settlement.
What can I say? The guy flipped.
Unfucking believable. You had a simple job and you fucked it up.
Don't try to blame this on me. You're the one who couldn't wait. You wanted the 250 now, so I sorted it.
Sorted it? You weren't meant to kill him, you idiot.
Watch your mouth.
How the fuck do we get the insurance money without Nathan? Thanks to your incompetence, our plan is utterly ruined. That's just great, Charlie.
He smacks her to the floor.
Your husband might have put up with your shit. Don't mistake me for him. Well, I'd like to say it's been a pleasure.
What do you mean?
I'm leaving.
Yeah, I'm coming with you.
Not in this life.
You can't just leave.
What were you expecting?
But
what, because we fucked? Consider it a fringe benefit.
We split the money first.
No need to be greedy. You're about to inherit the hotel.
What are you talking about?
You'll see.
I'll see what?
So long, honey.
Give me the card.
What?
The card. The memory card from the camera. Give it to me.
You are either the craziest or the cleverest bitch I've ever met. I can't decide.
He tosses the card over her head. She scrambles after it. He leaves. Dylan bashes him on the head as he exits. Lucy hears and jumps up.
Fuck!
Dylan, what are you doing here?
I could ask you the same thing.
God, this place is like a fucking open-air insane asylum!
Dylan looks over at the money.
This is what you did it for.
Did what?
Don't play dumb, Jack. Filled me in on your deal.
No, look, you've got it all wrong.
Don't fucking lie.
I didn't touch her.
He's lying. He did it. He killed Alice.
You fucking snake!
I didn't kill Nathan.
Look, if you want to know who killed Alice, she did.
Dylan, I swear to God!
Look, I can prove it.
He's lying!
Shut the fuck up!
Dylan points the revolver at Charlie.
I know you killed her. She's dead, and so are you.
Charlie smacks Dylan's hand and the bullet goes through Lucy's head.
Nice shot!
Shocked, Dylan walks toward Lucy. Behind him, Charlie takes out his own gun. Dylan stares down at Lucy's corpse. Hearing the gun, he looks resigned. Charlie gets him in the shoulder.
God!
For fuck's sake.
He walks over to Dylan writing on the ground and aims at his head.
Time we put you out of your misery.
Alice hits him with a sledgehammer. She drives him over and off a ledge. Dylan climbs to his feet. Alice turns around. They kiss. They limp away, leaving Lucy lying dead in the doorway. Dylan looks back at the money and stops. He takes Alice's hand and looks at her.
I took the money.
I know.
They take the bag to Dylan's pickup.
What?
She leans in close to his ear. His mouth opens. She grins. They kiss again. Alice laughs. They pull away. Charlie lies on gravel at the base of the house. He regains consciousness.
Yeah. I'll be there in an hour.
He tries to sit up. A metal post is sticking out of him.
Better make that two. Fuck's sake.
Directed by Criff Stenders. Written by James McFarland. Produced by Lawrence Malkin and Cher Stallings. Produced by Tanya Chambers. Executive producers Jed Weintraub, Jan Corbelin, Bryce Menzies, Ian Gibbons, Jack Drew, Joan Peters, Aaron L. Gilbert, Alan Simpson. Associate producer Daniel Findlay. Director of Photography Jeffrey Simpson, ACS. Production designer Clayton Jauncey. Edited by Jill Bilcock, ASEACE. Music by Johnny Klimek. Costume designer Terry Lammerer. Casting by Christine King, CSA. Cast in order of appearance, Charlie Wolfe, Simon Pegg, Sam, Steve Lamarquin. Alice Taylor, Alicia Braga. Lucy Webb, Teresa Palmer. Nathan Webb, Sullivan Stapleton. Dylan Smith, Luke Hemsworth. Jack Taylor, Callan Mulvey. Bruce Jones, Brian Brown. Brown is a good one. Additional credits roll on screen. Every breath that I breathe, sweeter than the last. Pour a lick in the street for our fucking past. You'll be raised a glass. With our folks in here, giving thanks like it's late November. Even when the world's cold, there's sunshine. Brighter days are the only thing on my mind. Rain stops, snow melt, heat rises. Even when we flat broke, we priceless. Peace of mind's worth more than a piece of gold. Ourselves is the only thing that we control. Get a hold of yourself, everything else follows. These good vibes fill my heart when it's hollow. It's all I know, authentic. Live it before I talk it, then I walk it before I spit it. Today I'm gonna free my mind and just be thankful out here. I'm just so happy I'm living. Yeah. Just take a ride and celebrate my life and just be thankful I'm here. Yeah. I'm just so happy I'm living. Most things that I need, I was born with it. If it's omitted, best believe I'ma go get it
right now.
To a better life, I'm committed. But this grown folk business, people put their nose in it. I can't be judged by a pseudo critic. Every single thing that I do, put my soul in it. So the little bit I have, I'm holding it close. Work hard for it, no gimmicks. Toast to the most high for my time here. Treat each one that I get like it's my year. Free my mind long before I cut my locks. It was time all according to my clock. Although for some, a tough pill to swallow, I'm too busy celebrating the wallow of sorrow. It's all I know, authentic. Live it before I talk it, then I walk it before I spit it. Today I'm gonna free my mind and just be thankful out here. I'm just so happy I'm living. Just take a ride and celebrate my life and just be thankful I'm here. I'm just so happy I'm living right here.
Ain't no other place I'd rather be right now. Right here, right here. I'd rather be right now, right here, right here. Ain't no other place I'd rather be right now, right here, right here. Ain't no other place I'd rather be right now, right here, right here.
Today I'm gonna free my mind and just be thankful out here. I'm just so happy I'm living. Just take a ride and celebrate my life and just be thankful I'm here. I'm just so happy I'm living.
Filmed in Western Australia, post-produced in Melbourne, Australia with the assistance of Film Victoria. Financed with the assistance of Sound Film. Financed in association with Media House Capital. Financed in association with Jake Film Finance. International sales by Cargo Entertainment. Produced with the financial assistance of the Melbourne International Film Festival Premiere Fund, Screen West, and Lottery West. Principal investor Australian Government and Screen Australia. No animals were harmed during the filming of this motion picture.